بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله praise الله سبحانه وتعالى. Ask him peace and blessing his beloved and our beloved Sayyidina Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay, let's continue with the question and answers. And the next section is, what is obligatory and recommended for a Muslim to do? Question 18, what is an obligation of a Muslim towards the ruling of Allah Ta'ala, the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now, why would this be an aqeedah issue? Because it's a fundamental part of deen, and so you have to have a belief about the orders. This is what it's talking about, right? What is the obligation Muslim towards the ruling? I mean, what is his attitude or his belief towards the rulings, right? The obligatory commands of Allah Ta'ala are required to be carried out, and the recommended commands are recommended to be performed. Right, generally, ahkam are divided in two parts of the things that we have to do. Some are fard and some are not fard, right? The nafal or the sunnah, there's different categorizations, but basically some that you have to do and some that are recommended to be done. This is like a basic level. So that not every hukam, unless if there's a amr by its, this is a more fiqh, usul of fiqh, matter. Every hukam by default is wajib unless there is some external reason tells you otherwise, right? قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Obey Allah and His Messenger, but if they turn away, then Allah does not like the disbelievers. So if you see there, kufr is associated with what? The ones who turn away from the obedience of Allah and the Rasul. So it is related to iman, right? So your attitude towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you reject the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is not doing it, one is, you know, turning away from it. Turning away is more than simply not just doing it, right? This is an absolute disdain for it and a hatred for the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why this is in the Aqidah section. And the statement of Allah the Exalted, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, and obey on Allah and the Messenger that you may obtain mercies. That is another dalil, evidence for that. What is sorry, just this bar. Okay. So yeah. Is the obedient servant entitled to reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, is thawab reward ajr? Is this something that Allah is like, is the reward something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to give you, right? Maybe to put another way, is it like required by Allah that is Allah obligated to reward you, right? The obedient one is not entitled to reward from Allah, but rather deserves blessing and grace, not to be punished, right? Nor does the disobedient deserve punishment. Rather, the obedient is rewarded by his grace and the disobedient is punished according to his justice. The evidence of this is a hadith of Mu'az that is mentioned in the two Sahih, in Sahih Bukhari, a Muslim collection of the authority of Anas ibn Mu'az, who said, is narrating the authority of Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and there was nothing between him and me but the rear part of the saddle. When he said, Mu'az ibn Jabal, to which I replied, at your beck and call and at your pleasure, the messenger of Allah, messenger of Allah, a messenger of Allah. He moved along for a few moments, then he again said, Mu'az bin Jabal, to which I replied, at your beck and call and at your pleasure, Messenger of Allah. And then he again moved along for a moment and said, Mu'az bin Jabal, to which I replied, at your beck and call and at your pleasure, Messenger of Allah. He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, do you know what right has Allah upon his servants? I said, Allah and his messenger know best. He, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, verily the right of Allah over his servant is that they should worship him, not associating anything with him. So, la ilaha illallah, they should do ibadah, and they should not make any shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the right of Allah upon his slave. He, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with Mu'az bin Jabal behind him, moved along a few minutes or a few moments, and said, Mu'az bin Jabal, to which I replied, at your beck and call and at your pleasure, Messenger of Allah. He, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, do you know the rights the servants have upon Allah? Now, what is in case they do it? Like if they do this, that is they don't worship They worship Allah without associating anything with him. I, Muaz bin Jabal, replied, Allah and his messenger know best. Upon this, he, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remarked that he should not torment them with the hellfire. He should not give them azab. Right? So Jannah, like, this is like a bonus, right? That if they worship, and if you think about it, if you do worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, then you're blessed with nusra in this life, help, aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, barakah, the rahmah of Allah descends. So you are getting repaid, or the effects of it's not the reward, but the effects are manifesting, good things manifest in this world as well from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah's rida is there, pleasure is there. So what else? Jannah is like a bonus that Allah has promised, and He will fulfill His promise. But is He obligated to do that for us? No. There's no one can obligate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is His karam. That is His generosity and kindness and His rahmah that He gives. But the idea that I'm deserving of Jannah, definitely not. We only enter in Jannah because of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a bonus to us. And if you think about it, how can that be a repayment for our deeds, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dunya, even if we live, let's say 50, 60, 70, 100 years, let's say we live that much, like a long fruitful life, we've done a lot of ibadah, then I should be repaid back 100 years of ibadah. Let's say if I worship like 100 years, I made it years, or 1,000 years. Shouldn't I be repaid the same amount? Like 1,000 years of hard toil, ibadah, make sure 5 times salat on time and so forth. So like I've done like 2 hours ibadah a day and whatever I live in this life, then shouldn't I be paid for that amount of, let's say 1,000 years or life that I had? Or, if you have 60 years of life, then 20 hours, what did it say? Like 60, if you live 60, 70 years, 20 years of that is spent sleeping anyway. So if you break down to daily time, how much actually ibadah are we doing? So in reality, Jannah is by the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the right of a servant? Is that he should not be punished if he does that, right? Not that he has an obligation upon Allah, but that is also the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness. Question 20. What is the ruling of asserting that a specific obedient servant will be in paradise of Jannah and that a specific sinner will be in hellfire? We do not assert with certainty that a specific obedient person will be in paradise or that a specific disobedient will be in hellfire. Rather, we hope and fear for each one respectively, except he who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given witness for them, such as the 10 companions, Ashara Mubashirin bil Jannah, 10 the promised glad tidings of paradise. Al-Jannah, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave witness for them when he said, Abu Bakr will be in Jannah, Umar will be in Jannah, Uthman will be in Jannah, Ali will be in Jannah, Talha will be in Jannah, Zubayr will be in Jannah, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf will be in Jannah, Sa'ad ibn Waqas will be in Jannah, Sa'id ibn Zayd will be in Jannah, Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu will be in Jannah. These are the 10 Ashra Mubashirin Jannah. Probably the most least well known is Sa'id ibn Zayd out of all the 10. His father Zayd was, I was reading yesterday in Madrasa to students about Zayd, his father, Zayd bin Amr, I think. Zayd, his father, who was on the Deen Hanif, on the Deen way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, on Tawheed, used to give da'wah to the Quraysh, he used to mock their idols, tell them that the idolatry is wrong. He was at Rasulullah saw him, right? And he was worried of the son Sa'id. Imagine the son is promised Jannah 10, and Rasulullah said, no, he will come on the day of judgment, because he didn't follow any, really didn't follow any prophet, or follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but he wasn't really like a direct follower in the sense that, he wasn't, he sort of figured out through extrapolation, are the Jews are saying this, the Christians saying this, and then I'll stay on what I know about Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Rasulullah said he'll come on a day of judgment as a ummah by himself, a nation by himself, subhanAllah. So, some people are like that they, regardless of what people, it's interesting, like you should read about his life. And his son was told, and he's got two gardens, he's in Jannah, like Rasulullah gave him the glad tidings. Hence, everyone, so that's another person, right? His father, Sa'id ibn Zayd, and his father, right? Hence, everyone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave witness to paradise, Jannah. We also bear witness to them. According to his statement, Hassan Hussein will be the leaders of the youth of paradise, right? So the Prophet's grandsons, they'll be the head of the youth of the head of the youth in Jannah. The same way with his daughter, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, Should be there. So, and regarding Thabit bin Qais, verily he's from the people of paradise. It's another narration. You can see this in the book Fadail al-Sahaba, The Virtues of Sahaba Companions, a book by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah himself. Right. The next question. What is belief? Section on knowing belief and disbelief. Right. So, what is belief? Belief is a covenant in the heart, a statement by the tongue and an act of the limbs. So this is established directly from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah himself, that the iman is three things. It's the affirmation in the heart, testification by the tongue, and the action, the limbs, the actions of the limbs. So we include, this is different to the Maturidis, who includes, they don't include the action. And then there's a whole debate about this, that if you just believe in your heart, is that sufficient, right? And that is not Ahlus Sunnah Jamaat. All agree, all the various, all agree that that it has to be uttered by the tongue, right? So affirmation in the heart, and then covenant in the heart, and statement by the tongue, and the acts of the limbs. The actions are also included. Does belief increase and decrease? It increases with obedience to Allah, and decreases by disobedience of Allah. It is strengthened by knowledge, and is weakened by ignorance, heedlessness, and neglect. Right. So iman is something as per the text of the Quran itself. Iman does increase and decrease. It increases and decreases. What is the ruling on saying I'm a mu'min believer, inshallah, the inshallah ta'ala, right? It is recommended to say inshallah not from doubting the current state, but rather doubting the outcome, or in the acceptance of deeds, or fear of shortcomings, or self-condemnation, right? So someone says, are you Muslim? Right? And says that I'm a mu'min, inshallah. This is not said out of doubt, right? It is recommended to say inshallah not from doubting the current state, but rather doubting the outcome. I'm not sure. I hope that I'll be a mu'min inshallah when I die. Alhamdulillah, I'm a mu'min because I've testified, but I don't know my condition when I'll die. There's a fearfulness, there's a fear of, this is self-condemnation, like to put yourself down. I don't know my end, right? The sunnah refers to that, and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the faith has over 70 branches. Over 60 branches, the uppermost of which is declaration, none has a right to be worshipped but Allah, and the least of which is the removal of harmful objects from the road, narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. So that hadith is a very beautiful hadith. I did a like a retranslation of its the branches of Iman, Imam Qazwini. Imam Bayhaqi, like, has got this 6-volume book on the branches of Iman. What does he mean by branches of Iman? That wherever in the Quran hadith something is connected to iman, some act, whether it be the act be of the tongue or of the heart or of the physical limbs, like salat is called iman in Surah Baqarah. It's called iman, so that's a branch of iman. So like that, he puts all the references that are there in the Quran hadith, puts it together in 6-volume work. Imam Qazwini comes along, he puts it into like a tiny little booklet with one narration for each branch, so it goes up to 77 branches, right, of iman. So there's a beautiful image, like, you know, there's a, you can like put an image of these branches for you, of the complete iman, a perfect iman, that when you have all those branches, and then some branches are higher and some are lower. The highest of this is La ilaha illallah. The most outstanding is saying La ilaha illallah. And the least is to remove something from the road. That is iman. That is a part of iman, to remove, right, something from the road. So I was asked by one of the mosques here to teach Aqidah, a book, like in a more sort of complex, intermediate level, book, to like, it's called, I said, instead of me teaching them Aqidah and getting into polemics, I let me just put an image of Islam in front of them, right? So the hadith, the book on the branches of Iman, Imam Qazwini's book. There's a few translations out there. I reworked Sheikh Abdul Hakim Murad from UK, his old translation, and made it available because I was teaching courses. So, well, let me improve this and put the Arabic back in as well. And alhamdulillah, I got to publish it. The reason I mentioned that, because like we can get into Aqidah, we can get into a weird area of like just polemics. And I think like we have to be, first, we have to have like a very strong image, or understanding or structure of Islam, the life of Islam, the teaching of Islam. And I think the branches of Iman is a beautiful way. It's a metaphor, but it co covers all. If you go through the whole book, beginning to end, it covers everything of Islam. Like, covers everything. There's nothing missed in it. So it gives you like a complete spiritual actions of the tongue, gratefulness, sabr, all the internal characteristic gives you like a complete picture of what we should aim. And by that, we understand that the iman is something that increases, decreases. Iman is made of many, many parts of the tongue, of the what is in the heart, and also the limbs, actions of the limbs as well. The Shaheen bin Sumayda said, I had heard Abu Abdullah saying, belief is a statement, and this is the statement of Imam in Tabaqat al-Hanabil, as mentioned, belief is a statement and deeds, and statement of is statement and deeds, a statement of the tongue and actions of the limbs. So there you go. So this is direct from Imam Ahmad Muhammad rahimahullah, that he held that actions were also included, while there are others that hold that actions are not included in iman, right? Namely, the Maturidis, they hold that actions are not. But they don't say that you don't do the actions. It just says, is it part of iman or not? There's a debate. It's an academic, you could say, debate that they have with the Ash'aris and others. What is kufr? Is a video coming across okay? Not sure what's happening. Can you hear me okay? Right. Question two. What is kufr? Answer: we do not assert with certainty that a specific obedient person will be. Okay, I think this is a mistake here. We did this one already. Let me just have a look at the original book because I think there's a mistake here. So the question. I'll come back to that question again, inshallah, in a moment. Question 24. Let's go to 25. What is the ruling of praising a hypocrite and describing him with title of devout and religious man and a faithful to Allah? It is not said regarding a fasiq, immoral person, he's religious, devout, sincere, and a wali friend of Allah. The evidence for that is a statement of the Prophet ﷺ: do not address a hypocrite with the title of chief or similar titles of respect, for even if he deserves this title, you'll invite Allah's wrath by using it for him. Narrated by Abu Dawud. So this is regarding those who they are known to be munafiq, right? Or a fasiq, immoral person, right? He's got immorality in his actions. He's an immoral. Okay, you can't see. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. With the video. Yeah, I'm sorry. Is the audio okay? Strange. There you are. Yeah, it's acting funny, the camera. I have no idea what's happening. But anyway, as I was saying, but regarding the person is a immoral person, so they have a nifaq in their actions. However, we cannot call them like nifaq that put him out of Islam. But at the same time, to say good things about him, even though, and this happens especially when it comes to someone who dies. And we go over the top in our praises of the person, knowing that he was a fasiq person, right? I mean, today somebody's drunk and dies in a casino, and at the funeral, people will be saying all sorts of religious praises of him, right? Just to, for whatever social custom and to cover the reputation of the person. So that's a bit much, right? That's offensive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because it's not true, and now we are have a belief regarding the person that is not correct. Section on repentance and the definition of major sin. What is the ruling of repentance? Repentance is obligatory immediately from every sin. The evidence of his statement, "Watubu ilallahi jami'an ayyuhal mu'minun la'allakum," and all of you beg Allah to forgive you all, O believers, that you may be successful. And his statement, "Wa yaqum istaghfir rabbukum thumma tubu ilayhi yursil as-samaa'a 'alaykum midraran wa yazidkum quwwatan ila quwwatikum wa la tatawallaw mujrimin." And O people, I ask forgiveness. of your Lord, and then repeat it, repent to him. He will send you from the sky abundant rain and add strength to your strength, so do not turn away as criminals. So what is the, so this is the ruling regarding, so every sin is forgivable, right? Every sin is forgivable. If you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only thing is that when the haqq, and it can be forgiven by tawbah, except for the sin of when it comes to the haqq of others, which can only be forgiven by that person themselves. So the haqq of others either have to be repaid or forgiveness by the, forgiven by the person, genuinely forgiven by the person, not pressurized or as a social thing. What is the definition of major sin? A major sin, according to Ahmad, is what has punished them in this world and a promise of punishment hereafter. So what is the punishment? Well, had punishment. There is a punishment in this world. For example, like people's hand getting cut off for theft, or there's an azab mentioned hereafter, right? So that is what defines the major sins. So does it mean minor sins, saga'ir, are not haram? Saga'ir are also haram, but no specific punishment is mentioned this world or the hereafter, right? Both are haram. Just major sins, kaba'ir, are much more serious by the, by its definition. And the definition Imam Ahmad, as many of Ahl Sunnah Jamaat has given, is this. Question 28. What is the ruling of believing in al-qada and al-qadr? The matter of qada and qadr, right? The divine decree, right? And qadr. So what is predestined? It's qadr. Qada is what comes to pass, the divine decree, decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in action, right? It is obligatory to believe in qada and qadr. This matter, people are delving, those who delve into it, sects, whole sects, firqas come out of this. So you got al-qadri and jabariya. They went extremes in this. Where Qadari, Jabariya said, you don't have free will. You are basically, everything that happens already, Allah's decided. So if I do sins, it's Allah made me do it, right? That's how they look at it. The opposite was a Qadariya, which believe, no, we are like, basically, people talk like this today. Somebody mentioned something that interesting, that if you look at a self-help book section of book, in the library or bookshop, then a lot of that is related to an incorrect belief in Qadar, where you believe that you're creating your own destiny. So the good and the evil of qada and qadr are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The evidence for this is that inna kulla shayin khalaqnahu biqadr. It's explicit that we verily have created all things with qadr, right? With his power, right? And the evidence of this is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِهِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ. No calamity occurs in the earth nor in yourselves, but it is inscribed in the book of decrees before we bring into existence. Verily that is for Allah, in order that you may not grieve at the things of it over that you fail to get, nor rejoice over the things that has been given to you. And for the, from the sunnah, I mean, what you get is, it's not your achievement, even though it may look like that, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which you didn't get wasn't meant for you in the first place. And from the Sunnah, on the authority of Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true and truly inspired narrated to us, the creation of every one of you starts with the process of collecting the material for his body within 40 days and 40 nights in the womb of the mother. Then he becomes a clot of thick blood for a similar period, 40 days. And then he becomes like a piece of flesh for a similar period. Then an angel is sent to him by Allah, and the angel is allowed, ordered to write four things: his livelihood, his date of death, his deeds, and whether he will be a wretched or a blessed one in the hereafter. And then the soul is breathing into him. So one of you may be, do good deeds, characteristics of the people of paradise, so much so that he, there's nothing except a cubit between him, like a hand span or like a cubit's length, like up, half an arm's length, between him and the paradise. And then what has been written for him decides his favor, behavior, and he starts doing the deeds, characteristics of the people of hell, and ultimately enters the hellfire. And one of you may do evil deeds, characteristics of the people of the hellfire, so much so that there is nothing except the cubits between him and the hellfire. And then what has been written for him decides his behavior, and he starts doing good deeds, characteristics of the people of paradise, and ultimately enters paradise. All right. So that's that. So basically, qada, it doesn't mean that. So the truth is that we are given choice. Where our choice ends and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will overrides that, you know, this is something where these groups come into. And so ultimately, what the ulama say is that we are not musayyir. Musayyir meaning that we are forced. Like we're made to ride out and doing things that we are not. But everything we do is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that we do is created, and it's created only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good and the good and bad, our good deeds and bad deeds, everything's created. The whole universe and everything happens is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including what we do. And but we are responsible. We are the earners, as mentioned previously. We are the earners. We are the accountable for that. We will be held accountable. We cannot make excuses. Allah made me do it, right? We're not musayyir, but we are muyassir. Like Allah has made the act muyassir easy, facilitated for us, before us, when we intend to do it. So He facilitates for us, and He creates what we do, right? But He has given us, and because the fact is that we are rewarded and punished. We're not rewarded and punished for things that are already forced upon us. Do you understand? We are given a choice, and everything, the choices that we will make, is already written by Allah and known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that we're not Him knowing, Him writing it, and Him decreeing decisions based on that. He already knows who's going to go to Jannah forever and Jannah forever. It doesn't mean that we're not given a choice. This is very important, because it would make deen irrelevant, and that, do you understand? It will make deen irrelevant that you're not, or like, what's the point of giving an order when you have no choice in obeying it, or staying away from a sin? You have no choice in staying away from the sin. Just that question 24. It was a very short one, actually. What is kufr, disbelief? Kufr is denial of what Islam cannot be complete without it, right? Like belief in Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obligation the Muslim takes after his parents in faith. It's required that he utters the two testimonies. If he become physically mature, if he never said them previously, right? So in short, there are some essential things that will require, like the shahadatain, that a person has to believe them. So he follows what his parents do, meaning that his default mode is continuing and he's learning from his parents who are Muslims. But if he doesn't have that, then when he becomes baligh, then he's required, obviously, to affirm these realities. And then, of course, the first salat that is done baligh, as mentioned previously, shahada is done in there already. So it's a constant process. We're doing renewing our shahada every day in every salat, in tahiyyat. We're renewing our shahada all the time. When we're replying to the adhan, we're renewing our shahada all the time. So that's a constant process, and we're trying to refresh it and strengthen it and so forth. So kufr is denial of what Islam cannot be complete without it. There's some daruriyat, essential things that make you a Muslim. Like, for example, one big one in our time is the finality of the prophet. There's like prophets coming. There's a guy just now, someone sent me a message, one of the groups, Australian groups. I'm not sure which country the person is. Basically said he's a prophet, right? He claimed prophethood on TikTok. So now we have TikTok Nabis, astaghfirullah. And that's what so if anybody claims that somebody's other than after Rasulullah is a prophet, obviously we believe Isa is a prophet, but he's not becoming a new, he's already been sent as a prophet, right? When he comes again, he's a prophet, but he'll be a follower of Rasulullah. No person will be sent as a prophet after Rasulullah is passing away, right? Till Qiyamah. So every prophet claiming to a prophethood after Rasulullah is a false prophet, right? So, and it's kufr. So that's one of the finality of prophethood, is like one of the most fundamental, like one of these fundamental things that decides whether you're Muslim or not. Doesn't matter what else you believe. If you negate this, it's like negating one ayat of Quran. It doesn't matter if you say believe in the rest. If you deny the ayat of Quran, the person becomes a kafir. So these daruyat, these essential things, matters, are extremely important. They're the most important things, because they decide whether you're a Muslim or not. So yeah, we'll stop there, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a real iman, and that in the penetrates the depths of our hearts, and that we live with iman and die with iman and resurrect iman that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Jazakumullah khaira. Inshallah, tomorrow, next week is the last session, and also I'll be going through the aqeedah that all Muslims agree upon. Sheikh Haitham Haddad from London. So then, inshallah, that'll be good. It'll be a little bit longer session, maybe up to an hour, but hopefully we'll. Yeah, benefit from that, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairah. Any questions?